But my brothers and sisters, as we engage our culture, God requires our supreme commitment.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's exciting message by Pastor Brian Grant is taken from 1 Kings chapter 18, where is recorded the account of one of the most dramatic and historic battles ever fought between light and darkness. In this second message in his series on life lessons to be taken from the ministry of Elijah the prophet, Pastor Grant will make 3 points from this account that illustrate qualities God requires of his heroes. So we invite you to follow along in your Bibles as Pastor Grant brings us to this first part of his message entitled, Get Ready to Rumble. Here now is Pastor Grant.
The rumble in the jungle was perhaps the greatest boxing event in history. It was October 1974, and 60,000 people were packing the stadium in Zaire, now called the Democratic Republic of the Congo in Africa. 60,000 were in the stadium, and 1 billion people were watching this fight worldwide. Former world heavyweight champion Muhammad Ali. How many of you remember the fight? Yes. Former world heavyweight champion Muhammad Ali was competing against the current world heavyweight champion, the undefeated and undisputed world heavyweight champion of the world, Big George Foreman. Some of Ali's fans were a little worried because Big George was 7 years younger than Ali. Ali by now was 32 years old, and Big George was 7 years younger than he was. On top of that, Big George was regarded as having among the hardest punches in boxing history. He was regarded as one of the toughest boxers in history. In fact, in 40 fights, he had knocked out 37 of his opponents. This boy had punching power. Well, the fight got started, and Ali's fans seem as if they were right to be worried about their man. Because I tell you, Big George was all over Ali. He had Ali on the ropes. He was punching Ali like crazy. And some of us, Ali's fans, we were like really worried about our man. He was in trouble. But you know, despite all the punching and the punishment, he seemed to have been taking Ali was quite confident. And so even though he had him on the ropes, you see, unknown to us, Ali had a little thing. He was practicing what is called the rope-a-dope. So in one time when Big George gave him a right hand that was supposed to have knocked him out, Ali called out to him and said, "Is that all you got, Big George? I thought they told me you could hit like Joe Louis. Big George, come on, do better than that." Well, it was now the 8th round. And I tell you, by now, the film of the fight tells us by the 8th round, Big George Foreman had landed hundreds of thunderous hits. But all of a sudden, Ali came back with a 5-punch combination that ended with a left hook. And Big George Foreman went on the canvas. And just like that, the rumble in the jungle was over. Muhammad Ali was once again the champion of the world. You know, today Satan is attacking the gospel of Christ, and everyone who stands for the word of God and believes in the truth of Scripture, the devil is on the attack. And sometimes the devil's attacks are so intense that if we're not careful, it would seem as if Satan and his forces are winning. But my brother and sister, as we get ready to rumble, I want you to know that Satan is a defeated foe. Because as the country preacher said, I've read the back of the book and God wins. Amen. But listen, let's be for real. Because in this rumble, we as believers can no longer sit silently on the bench. Amen. Every Christian has got to get into the game. The Bible challenges us to earnestly contend for the faith. And it is time for every believer in Jesus Christ to become engaged in the rumble for Jesus Christ. Amen. It's time to get ready to rumble. I want to focus today on a rumble that took place on Mount Carmel about 1,200 years ago. Israel had abandoned God. You saw that in our first message. In the first message, we saw that Israel had abandoned God for Baal. And so God had withheld rain. For 3 years, there had been no rain. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, God sends Elijah to visit King Ahab. And I want us to pick up, we're going to read some of the verses that were read already. But let's pick up at verse number 2 of 1 Kings chapter 18, just to make sure everybody has the scripture in their mind. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 2. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria, and Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. No, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For so it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them 50 in a cave and had fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land to all the springs of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive so that we will not have to kill any livestock. Ahab loved his animals more than he loved people. So they divided land between them to explore it. Ahab went one way to him by himself. Obadiah went another way by himself. Now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him, and he fell on his face and said, is that you, my lord Elijah? And he answered him, it is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here. Obadiah was a committed follower of God, but he was about to find out that despite his existing commitment, God required an even greater level of commitment. Put this down in your notes. God requires my supreme commitment. God requires my supreme commitment. You know, it's great to be committed to God. And at GCA, we are blessed to have a significant number of committed members. We are blessed that such a large number of members are involved in one ministry or another. Now, if you're here and you're not involved in any ministry, it's time for you to get off the bench. It's time for you to get involved. But my brothers and sisters, as we engage our culture, God requires our supreme commitment. Put this down in your notes. We must overcome past victories syndrome. Amen. We must overcome past victories syndrome. Look at verse number 9. Obadiah said to Elijah, Obadiah said, how have I sinned? Elijah says to him, go and tell your Ahab that Elijah is here. Obadiah says, how have I sinned that you're delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to find you. Listen, Elijah, you're the most wanted man on the planet. He said, we have been searching for you, and everybody said he's not here. Verse number 11, and now you say, go tell your master Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I'm gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I don't know. So when I go and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to you, Elijah, what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? Oh, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, go tell your master, Elijah is here. He will kill me. You know, listen, Elijah was certainly a courageous man, wasn't he? He was a committed servant of God, and he was courageous, because when Jezebel had started killing God's prophets, Obadiah had hidden 100 in a cave, in two caves, and he had fed them. Listen, it took guts to do that. But despite the courage he had displayed, there were some risks, apparently, that Obadiah was not willing to take. And so here he tells Elijah, I am not going to go get my master for you. I ain't doing that. Elijah was the most wanted man, and he was scared that Elijah may not be there when he comes back. So listen, as far as he was concerned, this is one mission he was not willing to do for God. You know, many of us have testimonies of how God has used us. But let me ask you this morning, as we talk about getting ready to rumble, have you placed any limits on your service to God? Is God free to use you however he wishes? Or are you available to God only if it meets your comfort level? Come on now. Are there limits on how much you're willing to do for God? You know, anytime I think of this, I remember what happened when I was a teenager. And we had 13 sister churches in Kingston. And the elders all got together and decided they were going to launch an attack on Trenchtown. They were going to spread the gospel, establish a local church, and grow a church in the toughest, perhaps one of the toughest parts of the entire Jamaica. And so this was a united effort. About 60 plus elders had gone together with the strategy, we're going to do this together. My dad recruited my brothers and I, but as Richard will tell you, after a couple of years, we noticed that perhaps no more than 5, 6, or no more than 10 elders of the 60 plus elders had ever shown up. So I went to one of the brothers from my local assembly, and I asked him, I said to him, how is it that you have never come? And I asked other couple brothers who I knew, I said, how comes you have never come? I thought all you elders were doing this work in Trenchtown. How is it you never came? He said to me, he said, I will never come to Trenchtown. It is too dangerous. And I thought for a while, I said, my spiritual leaders have let me down. My spiritual leaders who are telling us about the power of God and the protection of God, somehow they don't believe that God can protect them in Trenchtown. It was too dangerous. I'm going to say to you, my brother and my sister, because I have a feeling I'm talking to somebody this morning who's right now you're refusing to do something because it does not fit your comfort level. I want to suggest to you that anytime you think of telling God what you won't do, that you better stop and think very carefully who it is you're telling I'm not doing it.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You know, sometimes we don't realize it's God we're telling, you know, because we're really talking to some other believer and we think you're just telling brother so-and-so that I'm not doing it. Now, let's be clear. God is not going to send everybody to Trenchtown. He's not sending everybody on the same mission. The issue I'm raising this morning is whatever mission God sends you on, let's make sure when he sends us, we say, at your service, sir. Amen? Listen, don't hang on too much for you notice what I call that? Let's overcome the past victory syndrome. Get over what you've done. Get over the fact that God has used you. That's the past. And today, he may have a totally different ministry and mission for you. Let's make sure that we are willing to serve God and we are willing to do what he's asking us to do with no reservations. Amen? Never forget, the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. Amen? Put that in your notes. The safest place to be is in the center of God's will. Listen, so what have we said so far? God requires my supreme commitment. But secondly, God requires my steadfast conviction. God requires my steadfast conviction. If we're going to earnestly contend for the faith, we must have an unshakable conviction that the Bible, come on now, is the inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative word of God. Oh, I put a whole lot of words together. Listen, the Bible is the inspired word of God. It's God-breathed. It's infallible. It's completely trustworthy. It's inerrant. It is without error in its teaching. It is authoritative. Listen, it comes with God's authority. And since it's God's word, we must obey it, we must proclaim it, and we must defend it. Amen? And when we do this, write this down. Expect attacks. Did you hear me? When we do this, expect attacks. 1 Kings 18, verse 17. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O what? O troubler of Israel?" Listen, when you stand flat-footed, and I hope the younger generation is listening to me this morning, because you are in a world, you are in a generation that where the word of God and the truth of God's word is being challenged like never before. And today God is challenging you to make sure you have a steadfast conviction and that you're going to be willing to hold on to this authoritative, inerrant word of God. Hold on to it. But when you stand, if you ever say, "God made only two genders, and that he made marriage a union between one man and one woman, and that God put Adam and Eve together, not Adam and Steve." If you ever dare say that, expect that they're going to call you a homophobic bigot. If you say life began in the womb, it begins in the womb, expect to be accused of being anti-woman and denying reproductive rights. But despite the opposition, young people, let's stand on the word of God. Let's plan to obey, proclaim, and defend what God has clearly stated. Amen? But please do it in love. Do it with grace. Don't go like a crazy fanatic, bombing people's places, claiming that you're saving a life of a baby, but you're killing the people inside of a building. What? This is not God's way. But let us stand for the life. Stand for life. Stand for the word of God. Listen, I said it downstairs in Sunday school. We're living in a post, not just a post-Christian age, but I want to introduce a term this morning that some of you may not be familiar with. We're living in what's called a post-truth age. A post-truth age. Put this in your notes. You say, you may ask me, what is a post-truth society? A post-truth society is a society that puts feelings and preferences over objective truth. Did you know that science can prove that there is life, that baby has life, while it is in the mother's womb? It is a scientific fact. But because we are in a post truth society. It doesn't matter. Objective truth does not matter. Young person, I want you to listen to me good. Objective truth no longer matters. What matters is what we feel and what we prefer. And our nation is being moved along by people who are only giving in to what they prefer. In case you didn't know this, there is no scientific evidence to indicate that there are more than two genders. They tell us there are over 100 genders. There is absolutely no scientific evidence for that. But our young people are being made to believe this is a scientific fact. It is not. Oh, a post-truth society is rejecting objective truth. And everybody is being swayed and being taken down this road based on the preferences of our society. But listen, as we get ready to rumble, oh, God wants us to do some rumbling, amen? As we get ready to rumble, let us make sure we have a steadfast conviction. But listen, expect attacks, but don't dilute the message. You know, here in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 20, here's how it reads. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered not a word. Translation, Elijah is asking the people, why are you limping between two opinions? Make up your mind. Is Jehovah God or is Baal God? Stop going backward and forward. Make up your mind. Some of you here this morning, there are some people here who are still not saved. You've still not received Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's time to make up your mind. You see, what these people were doing is what is becoming very common today. They were practicing, here I come with another term, religious syncretism. And some of these terms I'm giving you because it will help you to understand the context of the battle we are in. What is going on in the world? What is the driving force? The driving force is religious syncretism. You say, what in the world is religious syncretism? It's the blending together of diverse religious beliefs into one. Have you noticed that's what's going on? We're blending diverse religious beliefs into one. Amen? Amen? Are you following me with the notes? The blending together, religious syncretism. This is common today. That's why faith has become a buffet. Folks like Jesus. You hardly know anybody who doesn't like Jesus. But they don't like the Jesus of the Bible. They don't like a Jesus who is God. They like a Jesus who's a good man, a good teacher, a good example, a good person to follow. And so they pick a little Jesus, and what they do, they will add some other stuff to this Jesus. And then they call themselves, here's a new word. You want, who knows the hip word? I am spiritual. Oh, did you ever heard that? In fact, our good friend Oprah, you know she loves to say she is spiritual. But you know, many of the folks who say they're spiritual don't get sucked in now. Oh, you're looking for a spouse. And somebody tells you they're spiritual. Be very careful. Because most of them folks who tell you they're spiritual, they don't believe the Bible is the word of God. Oprah, our good friend Oprah. In fact, one time she said, I am a Christian. So she doesn't only say she's spiritual. She says, I'm a Christian, but I believe there are many more paths to God than Christianity. And here's what she says. Here's the justification. Are you still listening? She doesn't really care what God says. Here's what, how does she know That there must be more paths. Because she says, with 6 billion people in the world, there couldn't possibly be only one way to heaven. If we have 6 billion, there must be more than one way. But I believe in the authority of the Bible. And I believe when in John's gospel, Jesus said in John 14:6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I do not believe Jesus is a liar. Do you think Jesus is a liar? Well, if Jesus is not a liar, and he says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, nobody can come to the Father but by me, that's exactly what he means, that he is the only way to heaven. Amen? Do you know him? Is he your Savior? Have you received him yet?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.